Australian Federal Police say the overseas arrest of Kazem Hamad this week is a significant breakthrough. Iraqi authorities say the arrest was made on behalf of Australian law enforcement, accusing Hamad of being one of the most dangerous wanted men in the world. He was deemed the AFP's number one target, but it remains unclear if or when he'll be extradited to Australia. So what could it mean for Melbourne's fiery tobacco wars? Dr. James Martin is an associate professor in criminology at Deakin University. Welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Good morning, Jade.
How significant, in your view, is this arrest of Kazem Hamad?
Well, it's obviously very significant for Kazem himself, and it may have implications for his organisation that is alleged to have a dominant role in, well, it wouldn't just be Melbourne's, this is a nationwide problem, a campaign of violence to assert control over the country's highly illicit nicotine market.
Yeah, the Home Affairs Minister, Tony Burke, has described Hamad as being at the apex of a criminal network. Just explain for us what he's accused of doing in Australia.
Well, the specific charges are a little fuzzy coming out of Iraq. He's alleged to have trafficked in heroin and other illicit drugs both in Australia and Iraq. But Australian authorities are very much concerned with what they suspect to be his role in leading this campaign of violence that has really seen, you know, extraordinary amounts of systemic violence associated with asserting control over the illicit nicotine market. So that's looked like something in the order of 260 arson attacks nationwide, multiple homicides, kidnappings, robberies, and countless instances of extortion and intimidation targeting both black market and legitimate retailers.
What kind of impact do you think his arrest will have here? Will there be any sort of disruption to supply or longer-term effects, do you think?
I think that's probably unlikely. In the short term, what we tend to see when there's the incapacitation of a powerful organised crime figure, either through death or through arrest, is you often see short-term instances of violence. So rival groups, you know, don't see this as a deterrent. They see this as much more as an invitation to expand their control over the market. So we may get a flare-up of violence occurring around the country as different groups vie for control and trying to deter their fellow rivals. In the medium to long term, I don't think we're likely to see any significant impact on the illicit nicotine trade more generally, unfortunately. And that's because the fundamental drivers of the illicit nicotine market are still very much firmly in place.
On Radio National Breakfast, I'm speaking to Associate Professor James Martin from Deakin University following the arrest of accused illicit tobacco kingpin Kazem Hamad. Why has this particular black market, the illicit tobacco trade, triggered so much violence in Australia?
Well, systemic violence is associated with all illicit markets to a greater or lesser extent. You know, we're well used to this with illicit drugs, for example, you know, whether that's methamphetamine or less harmful drugs like cannabis. But I think in the nicotine space, there's been a few things that have really made this particularly dangerous. One is the size of the nicotine market. So nicotine's the third most popular recreational drug in Australia after caffeine and alcohol. It's used regularly by millions of Australians. So there's a huge pool of potential customers to take advantage of there. Another one is that it's a new market. While the drivers of the illicit market, the restrictions on legal nicotine, whether that's through taxation of tobacco or bans on consumer vaping products, these have built up over time. Demand is persistent, but supply has become increasingly difficult to access through legal means. And when we get novelty, when we get growth or instability caused by these kind of leadership vacuums that we might be seeing now, that's what tends to spur particularly high levels of violence.
You've been criticised by some public health experts for arguing there should be a reduction in the tobacco excise. Why do you think that would make a difference on this issue?
I want to make clear, I don't think that would be a silver bullet. I think there's a range of other things that the government would need to do, including increasing enforcement. But reducing tobacco excise, I think, would be a common sense first step. The reason for that is demand for nicotine is stable in this country, as I mentioned. So it's used regularly by millions of Australians. And if you're a pack-a-day smoker, for example, who wants to buy legal cigarettes, you're looking at a yearly bill of around $15,000. Now, there aren't many people I know who could afford that kind of discretionary expenditure. And we know that not everyone is able to or wants to quit smoking cigarettes. So for people who are in that cohort, then turning to the black market is a relatively understandable step. I think the other reason is that the main problem, or one of the main problems that we see with the illicit tobacco market, is it's incentivized the opening of these illicit tobacco stores that many of your listeners we've seen around the country, which sell very cheap tobacco, much cheaper than you could get legally in Australia even a decade ago. And we're starting to see early warning signs that this widespread proliferation of very cheap illicit tobacco is starting to lead to increases in smoking for the first time in several decades.
You said that a change to the tobacco excise wouldn't be a silver bullet. What else do you think needs to be done to try to crack down on this black market and reduce the amount of crime associated with it?
Well, I think a sensible next step would be to create a legal regulated market for less harmful nicotine products. So this is what we see in places like New Zealand, the United Kingdom, where vapes and other less harmful nicotine products have been used very successfully, are actually promoted by health authorities and sometimes even given at taxpayer expense to smokers in order to incentivize them to switch. We could easily replicate those kind of models here, and I think that they would be likely to divert consumers back into the legal market for those products quite quickly. So that would suck oxygen and profit out of the black market and allow law enforcement agencies a more realistic chance of cracking down on the market. The other one will be increased enforcement. So we are seeing increased penalties taking place around the country, increased police powers, more resources going into this. But I think without some reasonable attempt to increase the supply, the legal supply of nicotine and preferably less harmful forms of nicotine, law enforcement by itself will not be successful.
Thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you, Jen.
Dr. James Martin is an Associate Professor in Criminology at Deakin University.